Turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. I studied this message a few weeks ago to bring it home. I titled it, A Hymn About Him. This is a hymn that is about Him, and it's all about Him. Now singing, as we have done here, has its place in the church. It's part of the worship of God. A strong part of the worship of God. In glory, they sing, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And I had not really realized it until I had studied a few weeks ago this psalm. But they sing this song in heaven. Turn over to Revelation chapter 15. In verse 1, in Revelation 15, And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. But they sing the song of Moses. In this first verse, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And they sing this song even now. Even now. Singing, as I said, is a very important part of worship. It is to be done with fear and trembling. And it's always, always to Him and about Him. I noticed when I was looking at this afternoon. In verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. It doesn't say they were just singing about the Lord, though they were. They were singing this song unto Him. Unto Him. Now the occasion for this hymn has to do with the deliverance of Israel from the Egyptians. If you look back in chapter 14, look in verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. And there remained not so much as one of them. Oh, can't you see the gospel in this? Not so much as one sin remains upon his people. He has put away every one of them, cast them into the depths of the sea. Every one of them. Not so much as one of them remained. Not one of those Egyptians was a good swimmer. I'm telling you, the water was so deep it wouldn't matter how good a swimmer. Going to drown before he gets to the top. And he drowned them, and there remained not so much of as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And I can't even imagine how high that wall was. It's high, you know, it's not like as high as this wall. It's a wall of water. High. And it was on their right hand and on their left. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day. And I wrote out by that verse, Calvary. When our Lord cried, "It's finished," thus the Lord saved Israel that day, the true Israel of God. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, conquered. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. They saw it. When God reveals the gospel to his children, to a sinner, you see the great work of redemption. That's when you see it, and not before. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And then what did they do? They sang a song of deliverance, a song of redemption. And I want you to notice, this is one of the things I noticed after I preached from this a few weeks ago. I want you to notice how balanced this song is. It speaks of his power to destroy, to damn. And it speaks of his power to save. Notice how balanced, as we go through this, notice how balanced this song is. Now they're going to sing of the deliverance that God gave them. And it was a complete deliverance. A complete deliverance. They were all on dry ground. They were all on dry ground. The sea didn't close and some of them had to swim to shore. No, they were all on dry ground. Then God destroyed their enemies. It was a complete deliverance. It was complete destruction of their enemies. When Christ cried, "It's finished," he made a complete destruction of all our enemies. Satan is nothing more than a pit bull on a chain. He can do absolutely nothing without permission. And he can only do what he's permitted to do. Christ, when he rose from the grave, he arose above all principalities and powers. It's not God on Christ on one side trying to get you to accept him. Satan on the other side trying to get you to stay in the middle or to stay on his side. You're already on his side. You know, we're born lost. We're born children of wrath by nature, even as others. But Satan has no power to keep God's children. When he calls, they come. When he gives that effectual call, they believe. They believe. You read the Gospels. You do not read one time where a demon refused to come out. He says, "Come out of him." You don't read where the demon said, "No, I'm not. I don't think I will." They come out immediately. "Have you come to torment us before our time?" They know who the Lord is, though they don't believe him. It is a complete salvation. It is a complete deliverance. It is a complete destruction of the enemy without Israel having to raise one hand to help. I do not do one thing to help my Lord save me. Not even my will has anything to do with it. He said, "Thy people shall be willing when?" and the day of his power. Psalm 110. Until then, you're not willing. Until he demonstrates his power to save, we are not willing to bow. We are not willing to come. He said this to the Pharisee, you will not come to me that you might have life. But in the day of his power, you will. Someone said, I don't know who it was. I heard this. Said, God saved me against my will with my full consent. Oh, what a powerful Savior. We'll see this in this song. We'll see this. It has been said that Martin Luther set the church to singing. Actually, Moses set the church to singing. Martin Luther just picked it back up. Now, it says in verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel. The whole congregation sang. It was not a choir singing to the congregation. It was the whole congregation being led by Moses. He was the song leader. And they sang this song unto the Lord, and they spake, saying, I will sing first of all unto the Lord. Let it be known who we're singing to. We're not just singing because it's part of the service. We're singing unto Him. We're singing praises unto Him. Now listen to the song. For He hath triumphed gloriously. It says in Psalm, or not Psalm, but Isaiah 42. My servant shall not fail. He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. We do not apologize for God's judgments. We preach His mercy, we preach His grace, and we preach His judgments. And we make no apologies. You'll notice in this song there are no apologies. There are no apologies. He hath cast, he said here, he's triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown. He threw him into the sea. He providentially hardened Pharaoh's heart, brought him up to the sea. That arrogant man, and we'll see this down in this song, this arrogant man, which was raised up by God, thought, I'm going to get those Israelites. He said, I don't know why in the world I let them go. You know, if you read chapter, I think it's chapter 14, after the Israelites leave, they look at each other and say, why did we let them go? It's like, what happened? what were we thinking? God not only controls the heart of the king, the heart of the king's in the hand of the Lord, but He controls my heart and your heart and every heart that's ever been or never will be. And He providentially brought Pharaoh and his army, his captain, his choice captains, and the horse and his rider, and he threw them into the sea. Yeah, they thought they was going to get the job done on Israel, not knowing that God was leading them to their death. Judgment. He says here, the Lord is my strength. Now, the Lord gives us strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But this is stronger. He is my strength. You know, Christ has given us life, spiritual life. But this is stronger. He is my life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If I have life, I have Christ. That's as simple as that. It's not that He just gives it to me. I have Him. He is my life. You can't touch my life. Our life is hid with Christ in God. The Lord is my strength and He's my song. He's the joy of my heart. He's the one I sing about and the one I sing to. He's my song. It's not just a little ditty. This is a song from the heart to the Lord. And He has become, Oh, you know, my salvation is seated at God's right hand. You know, my security is seated at God's right hand. My security is not that I accepted him, now he's going to keep me saved. My security is him. He is my security. The security of the believer is Christ himself. He's become my salvation. And in another place, David says, God has become my salvation. When he became a man, walked on this earth, he did it as my substitute. He did it in my place. Every righteous thing he did, every righteous act he did it for his people. He didn't do anything for himself. He did it for his people. He's become my salvation. When he died for his people. We read back in the study there in Acts. He said to watch over the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Call it the blood of God. He's become my salvation, and he is my God, personally. He's not just looking at God as he's the God of the universe, and he's the only God there is, but he's my God. The God of salvation is my God. The God of glory is my God. The only God there is my God. How much confidence should that give us? We ought to be able to wake up in the morning and go to work without falling apart. He's my God. And I will prepare him an habitation. Where does God dwell? In you, the church. Now, I'm not the one preparing it, but he, the church is his habitation. He dwells in you. He dwells in every believer. And I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. Now that's going to bust some bubbles. As Jesus loves everybody, wants to save everybody if they'll let him. But the word of God, see how balanced this song is? He says here, the Lord is a man of war. And he has conquered every one of his foes. This is a captain that has never lost a battle. Never lost a battle. And this is the only captain that's ever fought all the battles by himself. Without us. The battle is what? The Lord's. You know what the Word of God said? The battle is the Lord's. Redemption, salvation, righteousness, that's all on his shoulders. The government's on his shoulders. It's not given to him and you and I make, you know, we elect and make decisions for him. And no, he's not a president. He's the Lord. He's the king. He's the potentate. That's who he is. He's a man of war. The Lord is his name. I want you to look over in Revelation 19. Let's see if I wrote that down somewhere. 19. Look in verse 11. Start in verse 11. And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge, and what? Make war. You don't want to be one of those opposing him, because you've already lost. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus Christ is. That's speaking of him. And now he's going to give us a demonstration of his power. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. You mean he killed them? He sure did. He said, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. I, the Lord, do all these things. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. He gives life, and no one can take it but him. Now, he uses means. I might die in an accident, but it will not be an accident that I died. He gives and he takes. Job said that. And I'm sure we've lived long enough to learn that. Pharaoh's chariots and his host, he's cast into the sea, his choice captains, he's drowned them in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious, glorious in power. Who's the right hand? Who is this? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the right hand here. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who's that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's become glorious in power. In creation, he said, let there be light. And there was light. Glorious in power. Back in Noah's day, he flooded the earth. Glorious in power. One day he became a man. Came into this world. God became a man. God was manifest in the flesh. Walked on this earth, in this sinful world, in righteousness. Not one time did he think or do an act of sin. Glorious in power. You and I can't. Adam couldn't do it when he was innocent. He failed. That's how powerful he was. He lost it. In the wilderness, 40 days, 40 nights, hadn't eaten. Satan said, make those stones into bread. Not so. He resisted. You and I wouldn't have the power to do that. We wouldn't have the power to resist. If we had the power to turn those stones into bread, we'd have ate after the first day. 40 days, 40 nights, and he didn't do it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he's being made sin, and he doesn't crumble. Glorious in power. On the cross, under the wrath of God, he stood up under the wrath of God. He gave up his spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. If he hadn't done that, he wouldn't have died. Glorious in power. He rose from the dead by his own power. Glorious in power. And then he saved a wretch like us, like me and like you. Glorious in power. Glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, God manifested in the flesh. In every attribute he's God. In every attribute he's holy. I got a lot of attributes that's not too good. But every one of his are excellent. Excellent. Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. You'd think people would learn from history, wouldn't you? Dead men don't learn anything. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble, and with the blast of thy nostrils, That's all he had to do. You ever see somebody get mad and go, with the blast of his nostril? And I like the way Moses is directing this song. He didn't say Mother Nature at all in any of this, did he? Talks about the wind and the water, but never talks about Mother Nature. He talks about God. He said, with the blast of your nostrils, you parted the sea. And with the blast of your nostrils, you brought it back together and flooded them and killed them. With the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. Scientists would give some kind of freak happening in nature, you know, and no, God did it. Man, we could save a lot of money in science in the science world if we just believe God. If we just believe the Word of God, billions would be saved. God did it. I told this to the church a few weeks ago. My grandson, about a year and a half ago, 5 years old, took him fishing. And I was trying to use my fly rod, and the wind was blowing. And he is standing there beside of me, and he said, "Papa," he said, "when the wind," and he was trying to talk about a tornado. He said, when it becomes a tornado, because the wind was blowing, he was concerned. He said, "When the wind blows and it swirls," he said, "is that God doing this?" And he took his hand and he went in a circle. I said, "You're right." "You're right." The best I'd ever heard. "Is that God doing this?" A five-year-old. Five-year-old. "He hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm." The lightning, it says in the book of Job, I believe it is. The lightning comes before him. And the lightning says, "Here we are. Who do you want us to strike? Where do you want us to strike? What do you want us to strike? Here we are." It's his. You see, lightning, that's act of God. You see a tsunami. You say, "Well, an earthquake caused that." God caused it. And he took out everyone he purposed to take out. Now that's too hard on this generation. That's just too hard. They don't want a Jesus Christ like that. But that's who he is. That's who he is. The enemy. Verse 9 now. Look at that. Here's the arrogance of human nature. The enemy said, "I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them." That's what old Pharaoh said. "Come on, boys. I'm going to have my day. I will, I will, I will." Who else said that? Their father, Satan. He said, "I will ascend above the throne of God. I will be like God." And look in verse 10. "Thou didst blow with thy wind." He just blew with his wind, just a breath. Just a breath. "And the sea covered them." Well, so much for human will, isn't it? There's your free will. It's at the bottom of the sea. That's where it's at. "They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness?" Holy, holy, holy is what they sing continually. "Fearful in praises." Our praises have an element of fear in it. Not slavish fear, but a fear of awe, respect, and recognition. "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." Everything you have, God's given you. And he can take it. It's his royal prerogative. I've got two sons he's given me. He can take them. I've got two grandchildren. He can take them. Fearful in praises. Knowing who it is we praise. Knowing his power, his sovereignty. He's not going to ask me if he can do this or that. He gives no account for any of his matters. That's why the human race can't stand him. Because he won't answer their questions. You go read through the gospel several times, they asked the Lord a question and he answered them not a word. Old Pilate said, I can't, don't you know I have the power to crucify you? I have the power to let you go? And you're not saying a word? And our Lord said, you don't have any power at all. You have no power at all, you little peanut. You don't have any power. The only power anyone has is the power God gives them. Other than that, they had no power. Pharaoh had no power other than what God gave him. And he gave it to him for a purpose, served a purpose. And when the purpose was done and fulfilled, he cut the power off. That's God. That's God. Let me go on through this. Fearful in praises, doing wonders. Yeah, you and I are a wonder. Every believer is a wonder. It's a wonder. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them up. Thou in thy mercy, now you see, here's the balance. He speaks of his judgment, his power, his glory, his holiness. Now he's going to speak of his mercy, his redemption, and his people. God has a people. I don't care if people don't like it or not. It ain't going to change things. You know, truth is truth. You say, well, you tell that, it's going to offend somebody. Well, you just have to get offended because God's not going to change. I'd rather somebody tell me the truth than lie to me and let me find out later when it's too late. Henry said one time, hell is truth realized too late. So tell me the truth now. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Now, he led them the long way around. If you go back into this story, the shortest way was across to the land of the Philistines. But he said because they'll see war and they'll be afraid and their hearts will fail them and they'll want to go back to Egypt. So he led them the long way around. Then he brought them right up against the Red Sea. Which any general would say that was a stupid strategy. Well, if you're not God, it would be. But if you're God, you can split the sea. And prove your power. Demonstrate your power. He's not trying to prove power. He's demonstrating it. But thou in mercy. Whatever you've gone through. The things I have gone through and yet to go through and you're yet to go through. The hand of mercy is leading you through it. It's the only way to go. It's the only way home. It's part of the, remember this, it's part of the journey home. Whatever it is, it's part of the journey home. Thou hast redeemed, thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear. He's talking here about the people that they're going to pass through. He said they shall hear and they're going to be afraid. You see, he's controlling the hearts. And they're going to be afraid and sorrow is going to take hold of the inhabitants of Palestinia. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Not by the greatness of thy people. They're just sheep. You dumb sheep. Lost sheep. Wandering sheep. They are going to be afraid by the greatness of Christ. The arm of the Lord. He's the one who will put fear in their hearts. You remember when they left At one time he said not a dog moved his tongue against him. A dog couldn't even bark. He controlled the tongue of that dog. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Oh, you are a purchased people. You belong to him. You're not your own. Every one of you who believe, you're not your own. I'm not my own. Been purchased with a price. Been bought by the blood of the Son of God. Been set free from Satan, darkness, and sin to serve him. Not serve myself. To serve him. A purchased people. You think he's going to lose anybody he's purchased? No way. That ain't going to happen. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary. Where is our sanctuary? It's better probably to put it this way. Who is our sanctuary? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to plant us in his sanctuary, in his Son. O Lord, which thy hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. This is a statement of his sovereignty. When you and I are gone from this earth, he'll still be reigning. We worry about our children. And our parents worry about us and them, then, you know, so on and so on. But the Lord's on the throne. And he's still going to save. As I heard my pastor say one time, all whom he can wisely save. He'll save everyone whom he's chosen. And he's chosen a multitude of sinners which no man can number. And I'm a sinner. I fit the bill. Christ died for the ungodly. I fit that bill. He died for sinners. Do you fit that bill? There's a whole lot of people be offended at that. They say, well, I'm not perfect, but I'm not ungodly. Most ungodly people on this earth were the Pharisees. And they were the most outstanding people in town. He said the homosexuals will do better than in judgment than those Pharisees would. His thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. You go over and read Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 11, where his mighty works were done in Capernaum. And he says, Sodom and Gomorrah will do better in judgment than you people will. He said, if I had done the mighty works in Sodom that I've done here, they would have repented. They would have repented. Well, why didn't he do it? It was not his will to do it. And I cannot judge the wisdom of God. Not this finite brain. He's sovereign. He saves whom he will. He passes by whom he will. I remember when I first heard the gospel. Heard my pastor preaching on TV. I remember this. Because up until then, I had people, my brother being one of them, and now he comes down and sits under the gospel. But Arminian, he's an Arminian, trying to talk me into coming down the front, down the aisle, trying to talk me into accepting Jesus as my personal Savior. And I was resisting, and I took some pride in that. And I was resisting. I'm able to, you know, I know. You know, you feel kind of good when you think somebody really wants you, don't you? And I found out that he may save me and he may not. He may have mercy and he may not. It's up to him. It's a matter of his will and purpose. And buddy, when I heard that, for the first time in my life, I feared God. He does not have to save me. It's not him sitting there waiting, hoping that I'm going to choose him. Did he choose me? He loved me. He died for me. I thought, Lord, don't pass me by. You'll never worship God until you worship him at a sovereign throne. It says in verse 19, for the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, I want you to notice what she does. She repeats the song. She doesn't add to it. She just repeats it. And a good song is worth repeating. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dance. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." All she did was repeat. You see these songs that says repeat? That song's worth repeating. Now that is a song of worship. And that song, it has balance. It has balance. We speak of God's love in Christ, His mercy, His grace, but I'm telling you this, outside of Christ, you're going to perish. You're going to perish. All right, Lindsay.